Hallelujah. One of the things that's going to either set you apart or blend you in with the world about you is whether or not you can live your life in these last days, these perilous times, with a sense of holy anticipation, because you know that all of these negative things point to the fact that Jesus' coming is very, very soon. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. There are those of you in here that have went through things this week that have troubled you. Sometimes people's minds are troubled sitting in church. Your face does reflect that, amen, to other people. They're reading you today. No matter what you're saying out of your mouth, the Bible said we are living epistles. We are written and read of all men. And if you think your countenance doesn't communicate, you're wrong. The book of Proverbs says the eyes of him who is joyful rejoices the heart of others. Can you say amen? Well, what about the eyes of him that is sorrowful? It brings down everybody else. Amen? Those they can tell. Sad sack Christians can't bear witness to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it is peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Not in the immediate circumstance that you're in, but in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So I used to put it this way. If you're happy, notify your face. Can you say amen? Amen. Vance Havner put it much coarser, a great preacher of old. He said, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles than in my congregation. How many are old enough to remember iodine bottles, the old ones? What was on that? Skull and crossbones. It meant if you take too much, it's poison to your system. Now, we said this last week. I'm going to bear down on it a little bit here today. If you're Mr. In-Between, if you've got one foot in the world and one in the church because you really need God, but you really don't want to sell out to him and go all the way with him, it's a miserable place to be in. Because you're not all the way in the world. You can't sin without conscience being pricked. If you become a Christian, amen, it's all different now. If you're not a Christian, you can party on Saturday night and sing in the choir on Sunday morning. It won't make no difference. But if you're a Christian, it's going to make a big difference. Because you sure can't have joy in Jesus and live a compromised life. But if you dare to take him up on his challenge, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It won't put you in some sorrowful, saddened mode. It will set you free from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Can you say amen? And you can serve God with a holy joy. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming soon. Before I read about Enoch, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it says that fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. People who just have a form of godliness denying the power. People are putting on and play acting. Hypocrite means in Old and New Testament, it means a play actor. It comes from a Latin word that has to do with actors on a stage, and the Greek word is akin to it, play acting. We put on that front. So I'm not asking someone to smile who isn't happy just because you want to, you know, please me or please somebody else or have everybody think you got the victory. Amen. I want you to be real today. But I want your joy to be real at some point in your Christian walk. So that the smile isn't a put-on smile or a pasted-on smile. You're smiling because, I love that song I sing, because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Can you say, man? That ought to make you happy today. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Men ought always to pray, crying to the Lord. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. There is an antidote. There is an answer for you today. But it's not in just listening to me. It's listening to what God's word has to say and then beginning to apply it to your life. Hallelujah. I meet with three other preachers. So there's four of us that have been meeting for several years now. When we meet together, one of the things that we're known for, we used to meet at Bob Evans Restaurant at Highway 579. We met there for about 3 years until the building cracked and they had to repair it and we had to move to Plant City to meet. But at Bob Evans, when we began to meet, we begin to edify one another, to lift up one another. We begin to encourage one another in the Lord, and ultimately it would be marked by prayer and praise and laughter in the restroom. Laughter. And so the waitress told us that people behind the counter that prepared the meals were glad to see us come because there's a lot of pressure. You know, if something isn't cooked right and something isn't just right. And just to know there's somebody that's serving the Lord with joy. Amen. That it's not just a job. It's a joy to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? That's why David said, I will run the way of thy commandments. It's not a job. It's a joy. What shall I render? We may not get to Enoch. God just got us stopped on the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? So many long-faced Christians in a day when God says, I want to make you distinctive, that you have hope that the world doesn't have. I mean, what good is having a dead religious system that cannot satisfy the deepest longings of your heart? What good is a God who doesn't answer prayer? So you have no hope when the trouble comes. What good is sitting in church and hearing these glorious promises when none of them are yours? When the sadness overwhelms us and overcomes us, and the same fear that is marking the world is beginning to mark many people in the church. Because you need a relationship with God that goes deeper than just singing with the choir, listening to the preacher, and going back to the world for everything else that we're looking for. We need a relationship that produces peace and joy. Can you say amen? The kingdom of God, not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. It's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture that we might have hope. Can you say amen? There are no hopeless cases in God. You look at people that look like they're hopeless cases. They live like they're hopeless cases. But we're not like others who have no hope. Everybody say hope today. You know what hope is? Biblically speaking, the glad anticipation of future good. Say that with me. The glad anticipation of future good. Say that again. The glad anticipation of future good. Hallelujah. Glad. It doesn't start out with even seeing it yet. It starts out with believing God for it, in spite of the circumstance. The scripture said, the God of all hope filled you with hope in believing. The day you start believing His promises to you, His person, His promises, the day you start believing that, hope comes alive in your heart. And hope maketh not ashamed. It's a process. You go through the trials. You find out through experience, when you trust God in your trials, that God is faithful and that God is able to keep a promise that a lot of people don't give Him credit for. Romans 8:28. It says, for we know, there's no speculation, there's no doubt, there's no if and but or maybe. For we know that all things work together for what? For good. The trouble you're in right now, the pressure you're under right now, God can subdue it to His eternal purpose to bring good to your life. And you have to ascribe that to Him. And if you don't, you're living without hope. Someone said you can live 30 days without food if you're in excellent condition. You can live 3 days without water before you dehydrate and begin to die. The organs in the body shuts down. You can live up to 3 minutes if you got good lungs without air. But you can't live 3 seconds without hope. And that's why suicide is the second biggest killer of young men and women in the land of opportunity. In the land of opportunity, our kids are depressed. They don't have to come to adulthood and get a lot of baggage in their life for that pressure to begin to touch them and overwhelm them and overcome them. They need hope. And they can't find it on CNN. And they can't find it in many dead churches where the preacher's going through the motion. We challenge one another at those meetings. How's your life with God? How's your life with God this week? Not how. What was your sermon? What's your program for building your church? What's your big thing in your life? No, how is your walk with Jesus Christ? Right. Have you been tempted this week? Amen. Have you been good to your family this week? Have you taken your wife out to dinner this week? Have you taken anybody else's wife out to dinner this week? Can you say, we challenge one another? I mean, you've got to get honest at some point. If you don't have joy, admit it and say, God, I want some more. I want what you're talking about in the Word of God. I don't want happiness based on happenings, because happenings are crazy. But if there's a happy is the man who hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. Can you say, man? You know, most of us, when it comes to faith, is like the guy that before they got all the barriers up in the Grand Canyon, as the story goes, a guy gets too near the edge looking at all of the beauty and grandeur and depth of this water-created ravine called the Grand Canyon. And he stood and he's looking over the side, and suddenly he turns around to say something, doesn't look at his foot, slips, and begins to slide down. And he reaches up and grabs a look like a some kind of weed like thing growing out of the, but it's pretty strong. And he grabs a hold of an old limb sticking out of the crevice of the rock, and he's holding on to that limb, and he knows that limb can't hold his weight. And he looks up to heaven and said, God, help me. And no, nothing happens. Heaven is silent. And he said, Lord, help me. Heaven is silent. And he said, is there anybody up there? And God speaks to him. And he says, John, just let go and trust me. And he says, is there anybody else up there I can talk to? You know, when you get down to really using your faith, it's not just a simple mental thing. You have to have a relationship with God that you can let go and trust. Amen? Man is pushing a wheelbarrow across a tightrope. Really, he walks first across Niagara Falls with one of those balancing rods. And a crowd gathers because this is a dare. There's a guy that does that. Was it Willinda? The Willinda family? He walks between skyscrapers. He's walking across Niagara Falls. And he's walking. And he walks across. And he says to the crowd, that the crowd's getting bigger and bigger. You know that anything dangerous draws this crowd. And they're watching him. And he walks back. And then he says, how many believe that I can walk across blindfolded? We believe that you can do it. So he put on the blindfold and he walked across and turned around and went back blindfolded. Then he reached, got a wheelbarrow. He said, how many believe that I can walk across and come back pushing a wheelbarrow blindfolded? And the whole crowd by then was really into it. Yeah! 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 He said, all right, who will be first to volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow? See, we can talk it. We can talk it. We can say we believe it. We can give mental assent to it. But when faith comes into the heart, listen, I wouldn't get in nobody's wheelbarrow. I don't care how good they are at it, unless Jesus is pushing the wheelbarrow. Listen, Peter got out of a boat in a storm when a ship was about to go under. He got out because Jesus told him to come to him. Hallelujah. And as long as his eyes was on Christ and not on the storm, he did the supernatural, the humanly impossible. He got out of the boat by faith in one word from Christ, because it was Christ that said, come. Oh, by the way, since he was already walking on the water himself, amen, it kind of sparked a little bit of faith in Simon Peter. Can you say, man, hallelujah, amen? And we criticize him for sinking. We ought to absolutely applaud him for getting out of the boat. Amen. There's a lot of Christians won't get out of the boat for nothing. Even if the boat's going under, they feel safer in the going under boat than putting their trust in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you today, amen, to get out of the boat, to get out on the Word of God. Amen. For the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, that you might have hope, the glad anticipation of future good. I used to listen and watch the Oral Roberts broadcast. It used to come on with this theme. Something good is going to happen to you. Happen to you. This fair. See, I believe something good is going to happen to you. Because I serve a good God. I serve a great God. I serve a prayer answering God. I serve a faithful God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come to a God that rewards those that seek Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His name is El Shaddai. You know what that means? The many-breasted one. The all-sufficient one. Hallelujah. And I like to say His name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Can you say amen? He's lavish with His love. He's gracious with His blessings. His mercy is new every morning, every day you get up. Why don't you try some morning instead of getting up with your burden and saying, good Lord, morning. Why don't you try getting up someday and say, good morning, Lord. Can you say amen? Brother Bimble, you don't understand what I'm going through. Listen. It's not about what you're going through. It's about a God who promised to take you through if you would keep your trust in Him. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. What shall I render to God, David said. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? What shall I render to Him? Hallelujah. And then he answers that in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much? And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Top of the list, who forgives all of thine iniquity. Who heals all of thy diseases. Who crowns thy life with loving kindness. So that you're lifted up like the wings of an eagle. Who delivers your soul from destruction. What shall I render? What shall I render? Leftovers on Sunday morning is not what God is looking for. He's looking for someone that knows what He's done for them, appreciates it, appropriates it, and gives Him the glory for it. Can you say amen? God gets our leftovers if we even got any. Leftover praise, leftover worship, leftover talent, and leftover time. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of thine increase. Then shall thy barns be filled with fatness. Can you say amen? We got a fat-free church generation. We don't have the blessings, the fullness, the joy, the power that was to mark every single child of God. The world doesn't care about your witness until it works for you. It's got to work for you. And I was so glad that people behind the counter were glad to see us come in. Because they knew there's going to be laughter and joy along with prayer and praise. That we're going to seal this time together. We're going to talk about our problems. And then we're going to encourage each other in the Lord who is going to help us with every problem that we have. So that we leave with laughter instead of sadness. We leave with laughter instead of sorrow. Amen. Listen to what happens. When God turned again. The captivity, is that Psalm 121? I don't know, 160. When God turned again, the captivity of Zion, when they came out of Babylonian bondage, and God restored their fortunes, and they built up the cities again, and God's purposes were being realized. He was keeping His covenant with His people. Amen. Hallelujah. Then was our mouth filled with song. And our tongue filled with laughter. I want to see if anyone in here has any semblance of... Can anyone say ha-ha? Can anyone say ho-ho? Can anyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah?
Hallelujah means highest praise unto God. Praise ye Jah. Hallelujah. J-A-H. Hallelujah. We used to sing the song, ha-ha, hallelujah. Ho-ho-ho, Hosanna. He saved me. I'm so glad he did. We used to sing, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want this joy, you must sing for it. If you want this joy, you must shout for it. If you want this joy, you must clap for it. If you want this joy, you must jump for it. Amen. And we used to have that as kind of a starter song on Sunday morning. Because no one came in singing, shouting, and jumping. No one had that kind of victory all week long. Over everything. No one had that kind of hope. But we followed the leader. If you want this joy, you must clap for it. A seal could do the same thing. Not seal, the guy that sings. Okay, a real seal. Amen? Oh, there's God save us from a synthetic Pentecost where there's no reality. Where we put on the front and we put on the show and we go out and come back under it all. Preacher that I knew, she had a friend of hers that had a minor bird. Anybody ever heard a minor bird talk? They're good at it. To me, they're better than parrots. They are good at it. I went to a man's house that had a minor bird, and he had two dogs named Rough and Ready. Two bulldogs named... One of them was an English bulldog. You know, the big old thing that eats tin cans and stuff like that. Amen. And the other one was a pit bull. And the dog... the minor bird had heard them call the dogs to come eat, because he would whistle a particular way and say, come here, Ruff, come here, Ready. Come here, Ruff, come here, Ready. And I was on the back porch, and that bird was sitting in his cage, and those dogs were laying out there asleep, because it wasn't supper time. They're just laying out there, you know, sleeping under the shade, and that old bird wants some activity. And he whistled just like that man said, come here, Ruff. Come here, Ready, in the same voice that man said. And here those dogs come running looking for supper. And it ain't even supper time. Minor birds are good at talking. They're good at talking. They're good at talking. Christians are good at talking, too. It's the walking we need to get right. Come on, we all know how to talk the talk. Come on, everybody tells me, come on, honey, I look way past what you're saying about your life with God, and I'm looking what's happening in you. When you come out of a bad week, do you still have a praise for God? Does your faith still work under the gun and under pressure? I want you to have a faith that don't break down under pressure. I want you to have a joy that supersedes, amen, all of the other thing and transcends all of the fleshly things that tear you up, amen, disgruntle you and get you down, amen. The world is waiting to see something. They have heard it. They don't need another definition of the kingdom or a definition of Christianity. They're in desperate need of a demonstration. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. For you are living epistles written and read of how many people? Everybody. If you're an old sad sack trying to tell someone that they need Christ, they're going to say, what for? There's no help for you, evidently. You're messed up. You're grouchy. You grumble all the time. So what's he going to do for me? I've already got those things. I don't need more of the same. I need help. I need hope. Hallelujah. And the God of hope filled you with hope. In believing, you got to believe God at some point. You got to get in the wheelbarrow. You got to let go and let God. Hallelujah. Because if you don't let go, you take the burden out with you, just like you brought it in with you, and you live with it all week long. And we got to get rid of the put on junk. Amen. This thing has to get real. We went from that restaurant when the walls cracked and they had to redo it and close it for a while. So we started meeting closer to home in Plant City at Buddy Freddy's. Big old breakfast bar, and a friend of mine went through some kind of a thing with arteries clogging up, and he's a bacon man. He's a bacon man. His wife won't let him eat it at home, so when we meet, hey man, don't give me a restaurant where it's all you can eat. I believe he'd eat a bacon sandwich wrapped in bacon. There's a pizza out there now that's wrapped in bacon. There's a cologne that smells like bacon. I know. Shake your head again. That's bad. You say, that does not do nothing for me. I don't want no man smelling like no bacon. And we get to laughing at him. And we say, something, the first thing we do, how's your week been? If it's been a bad week, okay, it's been a bad week. Let's hear about it. Hey, man, all right, that's enough. We have to cut each other off. Because if you keep on talking about it, it's like eating possum that didn't cook right. The more you chew it, the bigger it gets. Can you say amen? Come on, have you found that out about talking about your trouble? The more you talk about it, the bigger it gets. And it gets bigger than you, and it seems to be bigger than God, but it isn't bigger than God. And when we begin to say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, being a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. It guarantees that trouble is going to come. Can you say amen? But, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. Oh, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is impossible to him that believes that about God. Can you say amen? And what happens? Tests become testimonies. Hallelujah. Tests become testimonies. How many has ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Anybody ever heard those names? You would have never heard them except for one reason. One reason. Because they threw them after they said they'd bow to no other God. Instead of getting delivered from the fire, they got through in the fire. Amen. Think it not strange, this fiery trial that has come to try you, the scriptures declare, as some strange thing has happened. Oh, my brother Taylor, I'm a dedicated child of the living God. Nothing should or could ever happen to me to put me under pressure to where I have to put my trust in God like that. You would have never heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if it wasn't for a fiery furnace and a fourth man in the fire, and the fact that they came out not only not burned by the fire, the Bible said there wasn't even
smell of smoke.
Say it again loud and proud.
Smell of smoke.
There wasn't. Wait a minute. If you smoke in your car on the way to church, like the Three Stooges said when they thought they struck gold. Mo turned to Larry and said, Eureka. Larry said, Eureka too. Can you say, man? You can't hide it. I used to smoke, I know. Chewing gum. Yeah, that's going to do it. It's all over you. It just stinks, that's all. Man sitting by a man on a plane. He says, do you mind if I smoke? And the other guy said, do you mind if I throw up? So anyways, just some people can't stand it, and I can't stand it anymore because God delivered me from it. Can you say, man? One lady said kissing you after you smoke a cigarette is like licking an ashtray. And anyway, that's just another whole thing. Without the smell of smoke, God is such a deliverer. When he does it, he does it. When they brought him out of Egypt, when they brought them out of Egypt's bondage, stickler. God's a stickler for it. Nothing is halfway. Nothing is half-hearted. It's all the way with God. He's God Almighty. He's not God with some might. He's the Almighty God. And nothing is too hard for him. And because of that, he's able to subdue everything to himself. The devil means it for evil. God grabs it and says, I'm going to bring good out of this in spite of your intentions. Hallelujah! Woo! He's able. He's able. Is it on here anywhere? He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Hallelujah. But he needs somebody that'll trust him. Somebody that'll praise him anyhow. Somebody that'll let hope take a hold of them. Someone said, and it's very, very true biblically, I prayed for patience and I got trouble. Well, you didn't get trouble because you prayed for patience. You're going to get trouble whether you pray for patience or not. In this world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. Phelpsis. Pressure. Everybody that feels pressure in this old fallen world, say amen. Amen. Pressure. Everybody say anguish. 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 How many's ever had your heart just broken, just torn apart? It's anguish. How many's ever been hurt so deep that you just, it's hard to, you can't really explain it to anyone. You got to live through it yourself, the pain of certain things. Anguish, hurt, pressure. In this world, that's what you're going to have. And then the next word out of his mouth, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. Can you say, man, I've went before you. I faced everything that you have to face. Amen. I overcame it. Praise God. And I know just exactly what to do in your life to help you to overcome. Can you say, man? We don't have a high priest. The scripture said that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our hurts, our weaknesses, our broken hearts, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come where? Boldly before the throne of grace. Why, how can you come with such confidence? Because he's been where you are. He understands what you're feeling. He knows exactly what to do to help you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He knows exactly what to do to help you and to take you through. So think it not strange, this fiery trial that has come to try you, as some strange, unique thing has happened to you. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. He knows what I can bear. He knows what you can bear. He's going to deal with us on a personal level. You say, Brother Wendell, I don't think I could go through that. God knows whether you can or can't. And he promises, I'll make a way of escape. Not from the trial. A way of escape that you might be able to never encounter it. No, a way of escape that you might be able to bear up under it. Faith that can't be tested simply can't be trusted. You know why? Because it'll break down when you need it the most. Sometimes your deliverance is predicated on you praising God by faith when you don't feel anything but bad. How many's ever got up on a Monday morning? Something has happened. Something's going on. You get up and have to face that reality and you feel like you've been jerked through a knothole backwards. Can you say amen? I mean, you feel terrible. Let me tell you how this hope works. Listen, listen carefully. Lamentations in the Old Covenant, chapter 3. Lamentation. You know what Lamentations means? It means the blues. The blues. People that are not trusting God right now, Christian or not, have the blues. I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how much you party. Amen. One lady in Ybor City, she had went to school and learned how to mix all of the drinks that people are ordering perfectly. It is a high paying job. She dressed up, gussied up and prettied up, put on her high heel sneakers and went to work. And she mixed drinks in a party atmosphere every day. And in the Tampa Tribune, not in the religious section, but in a commentary in the Tampa Tribune a few years ago, she walked off her job. Took some kind of job that didn't pay nothing like that in a total different atmosphere. And the journalist asked her, why did you leave a lucrative career in a party atmosphere where every night you go to work, people are dancing, people are laughing, people are drinking, people are having a good time. She said it was too depressing. It was too depressing. And he asked her, what do you mean depressing? She said, because the same people, lonely, empty people, would walk in night after night, weekend after weekend, trying to hook up with somebody for a one-night stand with no lasting love, no real relationship. And she said, I would see them come in the door showing that sadness and emptiness. And as soon as they realized they were inside and the music is blaring and other people are looking at them, then they turned on this party face. And she said, it's all too depressing. That's incredible coming from someone that is out there in this world judging what is happening. When I was in the world before I came to Christ, I used to love Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix was the backup singer for others until he really hit it. He played his guitar upside down. And he played the kind of the acid, psychedelic, hallucinogenic type music. And if you were doing drugs at the time, it sounded pretty good. When you get sober, it didn't sound quite as good. And I never heard the lyrics to the song because I just wanted to hear his guitar riff. But I listened to the lyrics of the song right after I became a Christian, before I got rid of his records. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me? I don't live today. And the theme says, I don't live today. I don't live today. Maybe tomorrow. I just can't say. Manic depression. Frustrated mess. Can you say, man? Listen, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the side of every person, man, woman, boy, and girl. Until God fills that, we're going to look for something or someone to fill that. But when God fills it, when God fills it, amen, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Can you say, man, to give you something the world has lied and promised something it just can't deliver. But Jesus can keep his promise. But it's not church. It's not the preacher. It's not even the Bible. It's you and Jesus that needs to work this thing out. Amen. He needs your trust. Amen. He needs your devotion. He needs your commitment. He needs you to accept the fact that no one has your answer but God. And when you come to him, you'll find what you're looking for. And you say amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I found out I can't inject it into anyone. I wish I could. Amen. I wish I had a big Holy Ghost hypodermic. And I could just shoot you up with it. Oh, and it's not just people in the world. And it's not just people with one foot in the world. It's Christians who don't know who they are in Christ and don't know who Christ is in them. They don't know what to do when the trouble comes. They don't know how to get in the wheelbarrow. They don't know how to let go. And let God. Can you say amen? You've got to discover that. You can't just have this mental thing. When the pressure comes is when the rubber meets the road. I remember when our church got broken in Sulphur Springs. Oh, man, I got a call. I hated it. I was tired from Sunday night. I had prayed, sweated through my clothes, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, counseling after the service, and the man that stood at my car door for another hour after that. And I come home, I was wired, couldn't go to sleep. About 3 in the morning, I passed out. I mean, literally exhausted. 3:05 in the morning, I get a call from the Tampa Police Department. Are you the pastor of the Holy Church of God in Tampa? Yes, I am. Well, your church has been broken in. We're here now, and we want you to come down and see what was taken so we can make our report. Oh, man, I got up. I thought, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. There's some angels you need to fire immediately, if not sooner. Can you say, man, they're supposed to be taking care of things down there. I can't sit down there with a gun and watch everything. Can you say? So, Lord, where were you? Why did this occur? And I suddenly realized, I can't do this and have any victory, any peace. I said, Lord, I don't know why they got in. I don't know what they took, but I know that you are faithful. If they got in, you somehow good and glory is going to be brought to you if I keep the right attitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Count it all joy. James chapter 1, count it all joy. Come on, we're going to find out who gets you on your big boy pants in here before we leave. Can you say amen? Can you count it all joy? Count it all joy. Oh, come on, don't wait until you win the lotto to count it joy. Count it joy even when the junk comes. Count it joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers, many different kinds of tests and temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience. Everybody say, let go.
Let God.
Praise him anyway. Let go and let God and praise him anyway. Hallelujah. Let patience have her perfect work. You want me to put it in the Living Bible? Practical? Don't always try to squirm out of your troubles. Oh, come on, church. That's a... Come on, don't we all? I want to squirm out of mine. I don't want no trouble. The only place you can't have trouble is in that world. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You need what to do when the trouble comes. I change my attitude. And when I change my attitude, it changed my actions. Instead of mumbling, complaining, and questioning, I started praising and thanking. Before I even got to church, I said, thank God, Lord. Thank God that no matter what happens, you are God and you are in full control of me. This is your church. This is your work. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad I can call on you when the trouble comes. I'm going to thank you right now. And suddenly I couldn't find the words to thank him. And my thanksgiving went into other tongues. And I just began to praise him in tongues. And I got out of the car and with the joy of the Lord all over me. And I didn't know if they had messed up stuff, carried off stuff. And I walked in with the joy of the Lord. And boy, there was a policeman there. He said, this makes me so mad. He said, if it's a 7-Eleven Circle K, somebody's house, that's one thing. But he said, this is God's house. And I thought, yes, it is. He said, well, preacher, what did they take? And see, the good stuff, all the good stuff was up in the balcony. All the bad stuff that we hadn't carried to the junk lot after we upgraded was still sitting around the platform. Monitors that didn't work. Mics that buzzed and fizzed. I said, sir, to the best of my knowledge, they took the stuff that we hadn't carried off yet. I'm so glad I worship God before I got there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They hauled off our junk. Thank you, Jesus. The only thing they got was good was the burglar alarm. It's a tough community. They took the burglar alarm off the wall. Now, I mean, that policeman said, boy, I don't know. And they saw the peace and the joy in me. I said, it's okay, guys. Thank you so much for responding. God's got it. God's got it. God's taking care of us. It's going to be all right. They just took a bunch of junk. And then they begin to get it. And they begin to lighten up. They did what? They took an old monitor. It wasn't no good that we've been procrastinating. We were supposed to have a haul-off day. And we didn't haul it off. But all the good stuff's in the balcony. And they didn't even know it was up there. And God didn't let them touch it. I'm so glad I didn't walk in there. Riffing, stiffing, rinking, friffer. Or as I usually say when I'm upset, Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, you got to say something. but don't say anything that you'll regret saying. Amen. I said something about South Dakota the other day. I don't know what that was all about. Anyway, Omaha, Nebraska. Hallelujah. But God is good. God is good all the time. And He is able. He is able. Ascribe Him that. Give Him that. The God that created heaven and earth and everything that in them is, He's able to take what's touching your life right now. If you will trust Him and praise Him and work it into His eternal purpose, bring glory to His name and bring you through with victory. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Seemed like I heard them singing that. You got it. You found it. He's able. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to say it with me. He's able.
He's able.
You can't just say it from your head. You got to get it down in your heart. He is able to subdue everything unto Himself. The good, the bad, the ugly, the intentions of the enemy. And Joseph knew it. Run through this and we'll stop. Joseph is favored of God. Joseph is favored of his father. And when, because of that favor, his brothers were jealous of him. They took the coat that his father honored him with and gave him, the coat of many colors. They had conspired to kill their brother. That's what you get for being favored. They'll be jealous of you if you do good. They'll put you down if you do bad. So lose-lose if somebody's jealous of you.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
I told a guy at work one time, only way to not be criticized is say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. He said, no. He said, then they'll criticize you for saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing. You're right. Forget about it.
Yes,
praise God anyhow. Serve God anyhow. Pray anyhow. Yes. Hallelujah. So they said, let's put him in a cistern. Broken cisterns had a crack in the bottom, couldn't hold water. It's a big pit they had dug, lined it with clay to catch water when it rained. They threw him in one and he couldn't climb out. It was that deep. They were going to let him starve to death and die from exposure and dehydration. But then they said, you know, his blood will still be on our hands. Even though we didn't cut him and get it on us, his blood will still be on our hands. Let's let him live, but let's get rid of him. They found a caravan headed for Egypt and sold their brother as a slave. Now, Joseph is favored of God. Joseph is favored by his father. And he ends up with a rope around his neck following a camel caravan down into Egypt. A guy buys him at the slave market. His name is Potiphar. He takes him. And he recognized there's something different about this guy. There's something different. See, he had God's favor no matter where he was or what circumstance he was in. God was still in control. Even when it looked like everything was out of control. Oh, church, we got to give God that. We got to give God that. You'll never have peace or joy until you give God that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So he saw the blessing of the Lord on this man. He didn't know where it was coming from, but he knew this man is favored. This man, he put him in charge of everything in his whole household. Because God's favor, God's blessing was apparent, even though he was a slave. Listen, he could have given up on God and shook his fist at heaven, but he did not. He did not understand, but he did not give in to our fleshly tendency to grumble, growl, groan, and complain. Amen. And God blessed him to be a blessing and gave him favor with his master and so much that he could leave and go on a business trip and leave this man in charge of everything in his household. And he was a handsome young man. And Potiphar's wife made a play for him. She absolutely came on to him. And I know he was tempted. How do you know? Because any man in the flesh can be tempted. You're not above it. There's no super sanctification. By the way, ladies can be tempted too. I mean, when Barry White says, oh, baby. I mean, you know, you just got to push back. You know Barry White. That's why white folk don't know who he is. But I'm black man on the inside. Amen. I used to listen to rhythm and blues. Amen. I wasn't listening to Perry Como. I listened to Muddy Waters, Lightning, Slim Hopkins. Amen. Praise God. When I grew up, I loved the blues out of WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, Randy's Record Mark. I used to listen to a guy on WTMP to get rhythm and blues. I couldn't get it nowhere else. I didn't want Ricky Nelson. I wanted Muddy Waters. Amen. I wanted the Drifters. Amen. Oh, the joy of the Lord is so sweet. Some of you haven't ever got free enough. You're still in some kind of religious box. You're worrying yourself sick. Can you say, man, you won't let go. You won't let God. God can't lift the burden because you won't give it to him. Someday you need to let it go. How many was Frozen? How many of your grandchildren watch Frozen? Somebody watch Frozen. Amen. Academy Award winning song. Amen. It's appropriate for Christians. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. For heaven's sakes, let it go. Let God do something for you. I kind of like the trials anyway. It gives me a chance to prove God. It hurts. It's painful. It cuts deep. But God is faithful over and over and over and over and over again. Woo! Let it go! He's able to make everything. For we know it's got to be settled. He's able. I'm so glad I praised him before the cops saw me. For the popo saw me. Because they expected when I got there to see this pastor. But they saw the peace. They saw the joy. They saw someone who had gotten victory between Plant City and Tampa. And I'm glad it was that far. Because it took a little while. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It took a little while. But thank God on the way, it sunk in. Somebody, someday it might sink into you. Someday you might have enough victory to convince somebody else that God is able. And the day that you do, something's going to happen. You can comfort one another with the same comfort wherein you are comforted of God. You can tell them, I was where you are, but God was faithful to me. Can you say, man, God will bring you through because God brought me through. Can you say, man, hallelujah. As we close today, hallelujah. Lamentations. Jeremiah has preached. You can read it in the book of Jeremiah. God called, God appointed, God anointed. God knew they were not going to listen, but he was going to have a prophet give a witness before they were carried off into Babylon. So he wasn't going to have a great revival. Brother Taylor, he wasn't going to see conversions. He wasn't going to see people repent. And God told him, when you start preaching, don't look at their faces. I know exactly why he told him that. Can you say, man, don't you dare look at their faces. You'll become confused before them. He tried to worm out of it, just like Moses. I'm but a child. He said, listen. He said, listen, don't look at their faces. Don't look at their faces. You speak my word and you do it with boldness. And he did it. And not only didn't they listen, they accused him when he said judgment was coming. They accused him of being unpatriotic. They slapped his face. They put him in a dungeon. And it was a dungeon dug in the ground with the great work on the top. And the water, groundwater, had come up in the dungeon. And the urine and the feces from the people that were before him. And he sunk down in the mire. Now, when you're up to your neck in something like that, and you've got to live in it, sleep in it, go to the bathroom in it, it can take a lot of your preaching joy out of you. Amen. Amen? Amen. Someone said when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's no time to discuss draining the swamp. Can you say amen? And he said, I will not. It didn't do them any good. It's brought me this harm. I will speak no more. in thy name. Could get somebody else to do your speaking. It didn't help your cause. It didn't help your people. And look what has happened to me. It's a good way to find out if you're truly called. Amen. You'll never know if you're truly called to preach if everybody's loving on you and applauding you. I say controversial things, but it's biblical. So I don't apologize. Not if you can find it in this book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you're rubbing the fur the wrong way. I only have one message for you. Turn the cat around. Amen? Get rid of that sorry attitude. Turn the cat around. Remember that? Write it down. It's a good one. God is good today. But you know what this old prophet said? Down in the mire and the stink and the stench, he said, I couldn't hold it back. There's nobody to preach to and nobody listening, but it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I've got to say, thus saith the Lord. And while he was coming to that place in his life of letting go and letting God, hallelujah, up on the surface, Israel was in such trouble, they said, is there anybody that has a true word from God? Because all the false prophets' prophecies had failed. And they said, yeah, there's one. Where's he at? He's in the dungeon, down in the mire. Go get him, hose him down, wash him off, and bring him here. Can you see? Our only hope is God. Our only hope for the future is God. Our only hope for deliverance is God. Bring him here. And when they brought him, guess what they asked him? And he's already wired. Fire shut up in the bones, wired. Is there any word from the Lord? Can you save him? Can you imagine what they heard on that fateful day? But just prior to that, the book of Lamentations, everything has gone south. He said, when I consider the wormwood, the gall, my soul is humbled within me. It's the negative use of that virtue of humility. It means crushed by the pressure and the discouragement and the disappointment. My soul is crushed within me. But he said this, and this is what every one of us has to do in those times. This will I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Therefore have I hope. Glad anticipation of future good in spite of the present circumstance. This I recall to mind. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every single day. So get up in the morning and for heaven's sake say good morning, Lord. Because of that, with hope in your heart. Great is thy faithfulness. If you don't ascribe to God, if you'll ascribe to him that he created heaven and earth, but you can't ascribe to him that he can't handle your situation, can't take you through it, can't bring good out of what's hurting so bad. Corrie Ten Boom went into Ravensbrück concentration camp. The guards were raping the young women. She and her sister were praying because of the lice and the fleas that God would just eliminate them. She said, you know something? God did not answer our prayer. Because we were praying also that the guards would not sexually abuse us. And said the guard would come, look us up and down, see all those lice. She says, you know something? She said, we begin to thank God for those lice. She said, we begin to thank God for those fleas too. She said, after we begin to thank God for them, they didn't even trouble us anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, honey, this thing works in a concentration camp with lice and fleas and licentious guards. God is still on the throne. God is still good. And God knows how to deliver the righteous. I want somebody to say it. I know it's going to start in your head, but I hope it drops in your heart before the service is over. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. Hallelujah. He's able. He let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Will you stand to your feet? I want all the his able people to stand up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look to see who's happier, because the look don't do it in itself. I'm just going to pray that somewhere in the hearts today, he's able will click for you. It will click for you. It will click for you. You can apply it to your circumstance. You can come out of that cave. Hallelujah. You can come out of that depression and that oppression. Are you willing? Wave at me if you believe he's able again. You honestly believe that God is able. It's going to change everything if you just give him that. Just ascribe that to him. Can you say, man, if you got a little boy like me dying of cancer and the doctors give him up, don't give up, because he's able. He's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise before you